From scratch, from scratch, from scratch, from scratch, from scratch.
Welcome to the From Scratch podcast. I'm Martin Cousins and...
My name is Nigel Payne.
In this week's instalment, dear listener, we are talking about tips for learning and development in 2022, suggestions from working professionals and leading global experts. This is a sort of 35, 40 page PDF that's been compiled by Jeff Dalto, and it's quite an interesting read, I think. In actual fact, it's more than quite interesting. There's some really good bits in here, and it just so happens that Nigel has contributed to it. So guess what? Nigel suggested that we talk about him, which I think was genius, but it's okay, everyone. I have vetted it for quality purposes. And I think it's legitimate. I think you can, Nigel, talk about what you've written in this. So joking aside, you've come up with some quite interesting thinking in this. So you kind of shared about a page and a half on some of your current thinking about L&D, and this is all about tips for learning teams. So tell us, what's your thinking? What are the tips that you're sharing with them?
Well, it's very kind of you to choose this document and insist that we talk about it. I really appreciate that, Martin. It's been generous of you and very, very warm and rich. And I'm my arm twisted up my back. I'll agree to do that. I think I'm saying something incredibly simple, that L&D's at a crossroads. One way goes towards the irrelevance door and the cliff drop, and the other way goes to greener fields and exciting uplands. And I suppose naively, in a way, I reduce that contradiction down to two things that need to be done if you don't want to be irrelevant. The first thing is to do your field work. And I'm more and more and more, frankly, annoyed by how much people do what they're told is solve a problem that they're told is a problem. Do something because someone has told them that these people can't do X or Y. And no investigation. If you were a physio, and Martin Cousins comes in, usual limping, you know, agony everywhere, and the physio says, right, let me have it. No, don't touch. The problem is that I have got an issue with my left knee. And fine, thank you, Martin. I'll solve that problem. It's never going to happen. The guy's a professional. He's a practitioner. He says, Martin, I'm going to examine. No, it's not your left knee at all. It's your right buttock or whatever it might be. And so it goes on. Any practitioner that you interact with makes up his or her mind by doing their field work. In the case of the physiotherapist, the field work is up and down your knee. But in L&D's case, it's up and down the organization. And it really depresses me that we still operate at a basis where somebody, usually middle or senior leadership, tell L&D what the problem is and are told to go fix it, without so much as even a cursory examination, without even removing your shorts or, you know, anything. You just say, it's the problem, go fix it. And I just find that more and more irritating, because you cannot be a professional if you don't understand yourself what the issue is, and if you don't challenge the assumptions that the organizations is made. Just as you say, it's my knee, and the guy says, no, it's not your knee, it's your thigh. And you've missed it. Just so, if you're an L&D practitioner and you do not do that field work to find out what is really wrong, or what appears to be wrong, and what actually is wrong, what the obvious thing is, and what the underlying issue is, then you're always going to be seen as a quack, you know, or a merchant of snake oil that doesn't really fundamentally do anything. And the second thing is linked to that, and that's this idea that somehow we're not practitioners in L&D, and therefore our practice is not on the table. To me, every week, every day almost, my practice is what's at stake. And I read around, I talk to people, I try and understand how to inform and develop my practice, just as I'm sure your physio would do. He, you know, or she is reading journals, talking to colleagues, networking to try and do better work. But I'm not sure that concept of L&D operators as practitioners exists or exists very strongly. And therefore you get a lot of kind of superficiality or inward looking in L&D. And it worries me that people's ambition is to produce a better course with better instructional design or better, it looks better, it's better written, it's got better graphics, but without ever asking the question, does anyone want this? Is it needed? What impact is it going to have? Are you going to measure that impact? Instead, we go back to the TikTok stuff where limited practical value, which is why TikTok fired its talent team. Limited practical value. How many people saw that as a wake-up call and asked themselves, does my contribution have limited practical value in this organization? If the answer is anywhere approaching a yes, or I'm actually not sure, then I worry. So that was all I had to say, really. I just think we need to do more field work. We need to be more consciously practitioners. And therefore it locks in with, you know, Miriam Nealon's piece about evidence-based practice, that mm-hmm. if you seek out the evidence and use the evidence as a way of yeah. compiling solutions, you're going to do better, I think, and you're going to be more relevant. And you do have a job for life, as organizations are going to be transformed, not by technology anymore, but by learning. And yeah. That worries me, frankly.
Yeah.
What do you think?
So, yeah, it's very well put. I enjoyed listening to that, to those thoughts, Nigel. And I thought, so that idea of fieldwork and practice, I'm not sure, you know, why would, on what grounds would you disagree with that, is what I'm thinking. And I think that makes sense to me. And I think this document, this Tips for Learning Development 2022, there are some writers here or practitioners who are talking about evidence. I mean, it's a kind of thread that goes through some of this.
Yes, so, it is.
So I think the thing is, you know, we were talking just before we recorded, and my concern was that sometimes when you're going down the evidence-based practice route, it can be quite hard to think about the pragmatic application of what we're talking about, because, you know, you really do have to get under the skin of how things work, what the evidence actually is, and then what that means. And in some senses, I think it feels like a slightly, it doesn't diminish it, but it feels that idea of field work feels like a lighter touch. You know, it's like just gathering what evidence you do need to gather to ensure that what you may be being asked to do is actually in the right area. You know, what does it uncover? And I think that's just, I think that's probably one of the fundamentals of evidence-based practice, is the actual ability to go and investigate and find the data that would support the idea that something needs to be done, and whether it's the right thing that needs to be done, and therefore having a sense of what might change if you had an intervention, et cetera, et cetera. So, no, I thought it was really well put, and I think it's a kind of call to action for everyone, isn't it, really? So fieldwork and practice, two fairly simple ideas, but that can kind of see you succeeding and being relevant into the future.
It's like a resetting in your head, if you've got those two words to the foremost, to the forefront. So there's about 40 contributions to this document. So please don't assume that the one we've talked about is the only one or the best one. Tips for Learning and Development in 2022. Go to Guy Wallace's website, which is called hpttreasures.com, and you can get it for free. It's freely available. Get it, read it, and ponder, essentially.
Yeah. Thanks, Nigel.
Thank you, Martin. Good to talk.
From scratch.